Take your Bibles, go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 4 this morning. Find that first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter number 4. This morning we'll read verses 1 through 11. Responsively, I'll read verse number 1 and you'll join me on verse number 2. We'll read like that all the way through verse number 11. Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Let's read verse number 11 together. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, thank you for a time that we get to come to church. Lord, what a wonderful place it is. Lord, to be with people, Lord, of like mind, Lord, like faith, Lord, like passions and desires. Lord, we live in a world that criticizes the faith, they criticize you, and they criticize a lifestyle that we would try to live, but it's enjoyable, Lord, to be here together with people, to see others, Lord, that who are doing the same things that we're trying to do. Lord, they might be struggling as well as we are, and Lord, we get to be an encouragement to one another, and hear the word of God being preached. Lord, thank you for the word of God in our lives and the importance that it has. Lord, each and every one of us have spent time this week praying for today. We've spent time preparing and Lord, even seeking your face, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, we have not been disappointed yet. Every time we've come to you, yielded, humbled, Lord, and we've submitted to that Holy Spirit's power, you've done something in our hearts. And Lord, today we ask that it would not just be another Sunday, but Lord, that this morning your presence would be known in our hearts and in our lives through the preaching of God's word. We'll ask that your hand be upon this place, that you do something special in our lives. We'll ask that you be with our preachers. He preaches the word of God. Fill him with your power. Lord, we'll yield to you once again. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Up here in Matthew chapter 4, Bible says that Jesus was led up into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them today. I'm going to start by saying this, believe it or not. I'm not trying to pick out any one certain group, denomination, church, religiosity, anything. I may mention things that apply to many different things today. I'm not interested in religion. I'm interested in obeying that book right there. The name on the church isn't the biggest issue to me. It's how close to that book are we following that's the issue. And that's honestly what I'm going to talk about today, calling it the Bible's full authority. The Bible's full authority. I want you to notice Jesus is being tempted by the devil. He'd been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. That proves Jesus was a tough man. Imagine fellas going 40 days and 40 nights without food. You can't go 40 hours without food. Shoot, you can't. Some of you can't go 40 minutes without food. Or at least thinking about where the next one's coming. And all of a sudden the devil starts tempting him. And I want you to notice what Jesus says. Look at verse number 4. But he answered and said, It is written. Where was it written? In the Bible.
Amen.
The scripture. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By the way, you also have the devil misquoting scripture again. Did it in Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse number 6. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written. The devil starts quoting scripture back to Jesus. Jesus answers him in verse number 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Then in verse number 10, Jesus then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written. Now, all three times, Jesus refers to the Bible, and that's how he wins the battle over the devil. If the Son of God himself had to use the Word of God, what chance do we have without the Word of God? Now, listen to me very carefully here. Jesus is doing battle with the devil, and Satan is there to tempt Jesus with doing wrong. After each point of the temptation, Jesus answers by using the Bible to beat the devil. You want to whip the devil? Use the scripture.
That's good.
You want to whip the devil in your life? Use scripture. Jesus tells Satan here in Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, be our launching point. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. He did say you need bread, amen. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
That's good.
Now listen to me. There must be a final authority somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Somewhere. In America, it's not supposed to be the court system. It's supposed to be the Constitution. In America, it's not supposed to be the President of the United States. It's supposed to be the Constitution. It's not supposed to be Congress and Nancy Pelosi and Chuckie Schumer. It's supposed to be the Constitution of the United States. It is not founded in a man. When the President of the United States lifts his hand, puts it on the Bible, or as Obama did, the book of Quran, and takes an oath, it says, I will uphold and obey the Constitution of the United States.
Amen.
Not that I'll do what I want with an executive order. Now, we are to have a final authority, or there is no rule of law. You wonder why we're having problems in America. This started back 20, 25, 30 years ago. Well, our forefathers didn't mean it. They couldn't foresee what was going to happen in our day, so they really didn't mean it for this. It's called original intent. The Constitution is a skeleton. But without those bones, nothing stays up. You take the bones out of the skeleton, you're a puddle of goo. Puddle of mush. Now, let's shift gears for a moment. Everybody doing okay? I love you. Here it comes. I'm going to use a word I don't use often. Religiously speaking, there has to be a final authority. The best I can break down and give to you, I've broken it down into five areas where humans give religious authority. Number one, the church. Everything is based on the church. Number two, a man. A preacher, a priest, a rabbi, a pope, somebody has the ultimate authority. Number three, human experience. Oh, this happened to me, so this must be of God. Number four, human reasoning. We would call that humanism. Well, I don't see how a loving God could send anybody to hell, so there really is no hell. Well, God's got many different names, whether it be Buddha or Jehovah or Mohammed. They're all the same God, just a different name. That's called human reasoning. That's not scripture. And then fifthly, final authority should be that book right there, the Word of God. The words of God. Can I tell you something? Look at Matthew 4:4 again. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Not the church, not a man, not experience, not man's reasoning, but that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yes, sir.
Now, this means there must be a Bible somewhere that has every word necessary by which man should live.
Amen.
If not, God's a liar and we're all going to hell. Everybody doing okay? You say, preacher, I don't think you ought to be that bold. Then don't be, but I will be. I just happen to believe the Bible as God wrote it.
Amen.
Just happen to believe and trust God over man any day. Now, I'm not going to be making fun of anybody's religion, but I will be lifting up God and the Word of God today. If that hair lips some religion, let it hair lip it. I don't give a flip. Jesus battled Satan himself and said, it is written. Scripture says, it is written. By the way, he was quoting Old Testament. People, you got to understand, the Old Testament is just as much a Bible as the New Testament is. Do you know what the only difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is? In the New Testament, we look back at Calvary and what Jesus did do. In the Old Testament, they looked ahead at what Jesus would do.
Yes, sir.
But it's all the Bible.
Amen.
Matter of fact, if you go to the book of Hebrews, well, people say, well, they got saved in the Old Testament differently than they did the New Testament. No, they didn't. By faith, Adam. By faith, Noah. By faith, Enoch. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses. By the way, well, they didn't get saved by the law because there was over 2,000 years of history, actually almost 3,500 years of history before Moses ever came on the scene. How did the other people get saved? Nobody has ever been saved by keeping of the law. By the way, the Ten Commandments aren't the law. Ten Commandments is civil law. That's what God gave Moses to organize the Jews with in the wilderness and said, this is the state of law that I want you to take into Canaan land. This is your constitution by which to live as a community and as a nation. Had nothing to do with going to heaven. That's why in the founding of America, we put the Ten Commandments in our courthouse. It was supposed to be along with our Constitution because the Constitution followed all of those things within those Ten Commandments. It was civil law, not religious law. Then what law were we bound by? According to the book of Romans, we're bound by the law of sin and death. And Jesus was coming in the Old Testament and came in the New Testament and fulfilled the law.
Amen.
He completed it.
That's right.
Now, I got to get back to my sermon. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 18 says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. God promised that his word would be preserved and would be the same as it was given till heaven and earth pass away. We're still here. Guess what? His word is still true.
Amen.
What's the word jot and the word tittle mean? The word jot is like the dot on an I. The tittle is like the cross on the line that goes through a T or a J. So one jot, one tittle should not pass away till my law be fulfilled. Can I tell you something? The Bible I hold in my hand today are the words of God for the English-speaking people. It's just as God gave it, or God's a liar, and we're all bound for hell. Now, turn your Bible to John chapter 12. This is important, and it's the next part of the truth that I've got to give you. God promised to preserve his word. God promised that the word of God is the final authority because man shouldn't be part of the equation. Now look at John chapter 12. Look at verse number 47. This is Jesus speaking here, and he says, and if any man hear my, what's the next word?
Words.
So what is that? That's the Bible, right?
Yes.
If any man hear my words and believe them not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. Watch this. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my what?
Words.
Hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that last day. Uh-oh. Do you know by which we will be judged in the final judgment? Is the word of God. Whether you accepted it or whether you rejected it. If you reject it, all the punishments therein go with it. If you accepted it, all the blessings go with it. But God says in John chapter 12 that we will be judged by those words. Remember Matthew 4:4. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. God could not be just if he is going to judge us by his word if we did not have every word he spoke to us. If God will judge us by his words, how, and man cannot live without his words, there must be all those words necessary for man to have life and by which to be judged, or God's a liar. My Bible says, God that cannot lie. Now, listen to me very carefully. This means that the Bible itself is the final authority for man. God will use his word by which we will be judged. I hate to even say it this way, and you'll see it in scripture later, but it sounds contrary. God himself isn't necessarily the final authority. His word is. He said he would exalt his word above his name. And he said, I will judge you by my words, not just by me. Word of God's pretty important, isn't it? It is the final authority. By the way, God would not expect man to live by these words if he had to search around and try to figure out which ones they were. God would have made it pretty easy if we have to live by them. God's not some mysterious, grumpy old guy in the sky sitting on a cloud sprinkling spoofle dust somewhere, trying to hide things and make you look for the Bible like kids would an Easter egg on Easter. Why would God want to judge us by his words and we can't live without those words and hide it from us? Now, I want to use the Bible and let its authority show you where religion has perverted the authority and taken it away from God's word. Are you ready? Number one, God's words are eternal. They're forever. Turn your Bible to Psalm 119, right in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 119. I can quote most of these verses. I want you to see them. I want you to read them. I want you to mark them. Because I want you to see what God says, not what the preacher says. Psalm 119. Look at verse number 89. Psalm 119, verse number 89. Now watch this. Forever. How long is that? Forever, right? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. How long does the word of God settle? How long does it have authority? Forever. Correct? John chapter 1. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter 1. I've quoted these verses often in preaching. Say why? Because I want my preaching to be backed by the word of God, not my opinion. John chapter 1, look at verse number 1. In the beginning was the word, capital W, right? Now notice, when was that the word? In the beginning, right? Kind of like Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
That's right.
Now watch this. In the beginning was the word, capital W. I understand English grammar a little better than the average person. That is the name, that's a proper noun because it's capitalized. That means it names a specific person, place, thing, or idea. It's naming a person here, not just a book. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Look at verse number 12. Verse 14, I'm sorry, not verse 12. And the Word, capital W, right? Same one as verse number 1. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Can I tell you something? Look at me for a moment. My Bible says that it was the Word at the beginning, and the Word was there in the beginning, and the Word was used in the beginning. How did God create? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God said, let there be light, correct? And there was light. And if you look at creation, everything that God created, he spoke it into creation. Watch this. Did you know you can't speak without breath? Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Say, well, God used his hands and created man's body with his hands, but God breathed into man the breath of life. Can I tell you something? He inspired him. He breathed breath into him. Do you know what it's called when you quit breathing? It's called you expire. Inspire is when that life-giving air goes into your lungs. Did you know when a baby's born, you don't have to keep breathing into it? It begins breathing on its own. It's inspired, but it's preserved. Its life is preserved by that inspiration continuing. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something, and I'm about to come unscrewed. 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Can I tell you something? God inspired the scriptures because he spoke the scriptures to man. When we read in the book of Matthew, it's wrong for a preacher to say, well, Matthew says here, Matthew didn't say it, Jesus did. God spoke it. Matthew was the penman that took down the words that God said. And God put the thoughts in Matthew's mind, and Matthew wrote them down. That would be a perversion because man's mind is sinful. Just as I dictate a letter and my secretary types it, I expect her to type the words that I say. Not to put it in her words, but to put it in my words. Sometimes I get busy and things don't come out right. She'll type them and say, preacher, you might want to read that again. And I do. But she still types it the way I said it. You say, why? Because those are my words, not her words. I know what I want to say. She doesn't. She's not to say, well, God really didn't mean that. The preacher didn't really mean that. He probably meant this. That is not the way the Bible was given. Everybody doing all right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Can I tell you something? We're not supposed to be changing the Word of God. Amen. Now, I'm not going to go into all the texts and the Textus Receptus and the Received Text and the Latin Vulgate and all the other things that are out there. I could spend hours and hours and hours, but let me tell you something. If you'll trust me, the King James Bible is the Word of God for the English-speaking people today. Amen. Not another version. It's not the King James Version. It's the King James Bible. There has to be an every word Bible somewhere or God's a liar. Well, I hold in my hand the very words of God that were settled in heaven forever. that were given at the foundation of the world. God used them to speak the world into existence. And by the way, they are the Word of God and they are the words of God. And let me show you something. We read in John chapter 1 in verse 14 that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. When people mess with the Bible, they're messing with Jesus and God. Amen. Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 19. I'm about to shout. Amen. Matthew chapter 19, look at verse number 13. Look at verse number 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Notice those are capitalized. Who's that in reference to? Jesus, right? Now watch this. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame as a fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. That's in reference to Jesus. On his vesture, dipped in blood, whose blood? His own blood. Was written his name, the Word of God. It's in reference to Jesus. Look at Revelation chapter 19, verse number 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule over them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth out the winepress for the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Notice what comes out of the Word of God's mouth. A what?
Sword.
A sword, right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. Turn there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. I love putting the Bible together and letting you see what God really says. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged what?
Sword.
Sound like a sword coming out of his mouth? Piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse number 17. We talk about the armor of God. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Look at verse number 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what?
Word
of God. Folks, there's your sword. You want to do battle with the devil, do battle with sin? Right there's your sword. And by the way, it's how Jesus spoke the word, God spoke the world into existence. It's also how he'll judge the nations of the earth in the end times. When we come back at the end of the tribulation and you have the battle of Armageddon, we're coming back on horses with him. Glory to God. Miss Wally's is named Obedience. We're coming back on white horses. And we're not going to do any fighting. We're just going to get a ringside seat. And we'll watch him destroy the nations as a sword protrudes out of his mouth. He'll speak the words, and the Bible says he will destroy them with the word of his mouth. Just like he created with the word of his mouth. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now watch this. Any preacher or any doctrinal statement that says that the Bible is only inspired in its originals is a heretic, whether they know it or not. Everybody doing okay? I love you. A couple weeks ago, I had a board meeting, and I warned our board and put a file together for them in case something ever happens to me and I die or whatever, that as you pick a new pastor, check out their doctrinal statement. If they say, well, the Bible is only inspired in its originals, they don't know what they're talking about. When Jesus was doing battle with Satan in Matthew chapter 4 on the Mount of Temptation, he was saying, it is written, it is written, it is written, Scripture says, and he did not have the originals there. Do you realize it was almost twice as much time, years-wise, from Moses to Jesus as it is from Jesus to us today? Hello? But Jesus said, it is written. He still gave it full authority. Did you know you don't have to go to Washington, D.C. and go into the building where the original copy of the Constitution of the United States is to find out what the Constitution says? And it still has the same rule of law, supposed to. So, let me say, preacher, why is that important? Turn to Revelation chapter 22, last book of the Bible, last chapter of the Bible. I'd say last page, but most of you have the book called Concordance afterwards. Revelation chapter 22, look at verse number 18. For I testify unto everyone that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. Reference to the Bible. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Look at me. He wasn't saying taking the words out. He said take away from the words. When you cast doubt on the authority of the Bible, you are in danger. And preachers who get up and say, well, the Bible was inspired in the originals, are casting doubt on the copy of the Word of God we have today. Because my Bible says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If it only was in the original, we can't live. If God is going to judge us by this book, God is not just and God is not God if it was only inspired and perfect in the originals. Everybody doing okay? Is that not what God said? Now watch this. So, the words of God are eternal and I have to hurry. Number two, some say that the church is the authority. What is a church? Definition of church is a called out assembly. It's not just an assembly. It is a called out assembly for a specific purpose. Now watch this. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 18, Jesus was talking to his disciples and he said, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now listen to me very carefully. The church is not a denomination. The church is not this universal body of believers. Amen. The word church says called out assembly. There'll never be a church, what we call the church of the redeemed, until we all get to heaven together. It is not the rapture of the church. It's the rapture of the saved. Everybody doing okay? That's when we become his bride. But not until then. Now watch this. If the church is the authority, then why do churches keep changing what they believe? Uh-oh. In the words of my predecessor, Brother Hyde, oh, oh, oh. Why do religious leaders get together every few years to decide what doctrines are going to be in the church? Hello? Everybody doing all right? And again, I'm not picking on any one church. I don't care if it's Baptist, Catholic, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Church of Mormon, whatever. When people are getting together and the church is the authority, you have a monster. You have just taken the authority away from the Bible and placed it on an organization. And that is wrong. God is not an organization, he's God. Let God be true and every man a liar. I've met a lot of preachers. Guess what? They're all human, they're all liars. We came forth from our mother's womb speaking lies, the Bible says. So when we place the authority on the church, watch this, We've just placed our authority on an organization and not God himself. Now, Jesus established the church. Yes, he did. He was baptized into the church. Yes, he was. Do you know who baptized him? John the what? That wasn't his last name. Again, I'm not picking on anybody. Let's use the most prominent one, the Catholic Church. They say, well, the papal line goes through the line of apostasy all the way back to the apostles, and Peter was the first pope. Can I tell you something? Peter had a mother-in-law. And if he had a mother-in-law without being married, he wasn't real smart. Catholic Church didn't begin until 330 under Constantine. Council of Nicaea. It was the Council of Nicaea. That was 300 years after Jesus had been crucified. So, by the way, the word Catholic means universal. They believe in a universal church, that everybody ought to be a part of one church. I'm not for that any more than I am any Baptist church to believe that. I don't care what the name on it is. Again, I'm not picking on any religion. Say, well, preacher, when did the Baptists come about with Jesus? Baptists are not Protestants. Protestants came out of the Protestant Reformation in the 1500s under Martin Luther. That's where your Methodists, Episcopalians, your Church of God, Church of Christ, all those others, Presbyterians, Lutherans, all came out of those. You say, why did that happen? They were breaking away from the Catholic Church. Martin Luther was sick of the Catholic Church because he wanted to be the Pope and couldn't be, and that's where the Lutheran Church started. Did you know that Martin Luther killed as many Christians, Baptist Christians, as the popes did? Do you know where infant baptism... I'll get into that in a little while here. When the church has authority, they change what they believe. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 8. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Guess what? Doctrine's not supposed to change. The word of God is not supposed to change. That means the church shouldn't change either. Now, Acts chapter 20, verse 28, you don't need to turn there because I'm just going to read it very quickly and skip by to another verse. But Acts chapter 20, verse number 28, the Bible says this, that take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Jesus paid for the church with his own blood. If you went to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 to 27, you find out he talks about that he cleanses the church with his blood. That means this, the church is dirty. Yes, sir. It's sinful. Do you know why he had to purchase it with his blood? Because the church is made up of sinners. Yes. It's not an organization, so to speak, that should run the world. It's the word of God, and it was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. The church is not to be the final authority. I've said this before, I'll say it again. The day I get up and say salvation is through anything but by grace through faith, you have my permission and leave this church. When I start saying your works can save you, not the word of God, leave the church. Say why? Because that's bad doctrine. Everybody doing all right? The church being the authority places tradition above or equal with the word of God. Turn to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. This is where church traditions come into play. And God knew it and he told us about it in the word of God. Now watch this. Everybody doing all right? I love you. Mark chapter 7. Look at verse number 13. Making the word of God of what? None effect. Look at me. That means this, taking authority away from the Bible, right? Making it of none effect. Watch this. Through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Wow. God said when you start putting your authority in the church, You start putting authority in tradition, putting it equal or above that book right there. Can I tell you something? There's no tradition that's supposed to be above the Word of God. I'm going to name some church tradition. Some of these things I don't know a whole lot about. I've just dealt with a lot of folks through the years. Lighting candles, praying with beads, praying through Mary, praying to certain saints. Can I tell you something? Mary was a sinner and died like everybody else. Well, she's the mother of God. No, she's not. She was a vessel by which the body of Christ was, but Jesus Christ always was. By the way, I've gone to the Catholic Church and talked to people there, and not parishioners, I've talked to leadership there. They believe that the Immaculate Conception was not Jesus, but Mary. They call her the Queen of Heaven. That statement's used twice in the Bible. Both times it's referenced to a false god. Be careful. Using the Lord's Supper or communion as transubstantiation, which means it becomes the body and blood of Christ in your mouth. Can I tell you something? That's cannibalism. It's a picture. It's a representation. It doesn't actually become the body and the blood. Jesus put his blood on the mercy seat in heaven, book of Hebrews. Going to a confessional, telling some priest or preacher or somebody else all the things you've done so that they can take your sins and put on their life so you can be forgiven and they'll live good enough to get rid of it so they'll eventually get to heaven. Ooh, that's somebody trying to take the place of Jesus. That's not how it works. Infant baptism. Do you know where infant baptism started? It started in the late 1400s, early 1500s, before the Protestant Reformation, is a way for the Catholic Church to keep people in the church. Baptism, the word baptize means to bury or to submerge. Sprinkling, pouring, or spitting on somebody's head doesn't get anybody baptized. There's no such thing as holy water. You can't put a hole in water. That baptistry won't get anybody to heaven. It's water. Got it right out of the same tap that you drink out of. Came through a hose, not through the drinking fountain, but can I tell you something? It's water. It's a picture of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's all that it is. Doesn't get anybody to heaven. How did the thief on the cross on one side of Jesus go to heaven when Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise? He didn't get down and get baptized. He didn't join the church. Everybody doing okay? All right, I'm moving on. Praying to Mary or to saints. You know, Saint Bernard and Saint... Saint Michael, and I grew up in Ohio. If your name wasn't Ski, you know, we lived around a bunch of Polacks and Dagos. Sorry, not trying to be critical, but if your name didn't end in an I or a Y, you were in the minority where I came from. One of the largest Catholic churches in northeastern Ohio was less than a mile from my house. I grew up around it. Can I tell you something? Our public school didn't serve fish on Friday during Lent. That's how Catholic the area was I grew up in. You think I'm rough now? You ought to have seen me back then. We shouldn't have temple-style worship. That's why we're not the preacher's not supposed to be a priest. I'll show you that in a moment, too. That's why we don't come out in robes. It's why we don't wear the phylacteries of the Old Testament tabernacle and the Old Testament temple, because Jesus came to fulfill all that. Once he fulfilled it, said, get rid of it because man will worship it. And I'll show you that. And we're not to do that. Amen. This building, the auditorium, is not supposed to be called the sanctuary. Right. Oh, boy. The sanctuary is where the presence of God dwells, correct?
Yes, sir.
Now watch this. To the person who is saved, the Holy Spirit moves inside you. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God?
Amen.
Your body is the sanctuary, not the church building. This is just a building like any other building.
Amen.
Sanctified, yes, set apart for a certain use. But if someday we outgrow it and we turn it into something else, it's not going to be sinful. Everybody doing okay? I love it. I love it. I love it. Number three. Oh, man, I have so much. Man tries to step in as authority for God. Matthew chapter 23. So many verses I want to read here, and I do not have time to read verses 1 through 12. But let me show you something here. Look at verse number, go back and read verses 1 through 12 later. Look at verse 7. And greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be ye not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and ye are all brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even with Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he shall be humbled himself and shall be exalted. In other words, we're not supposed to use the word rabbi. Say, who's the rabbi? Jesus. We're not supposed to call someone master. By the way, that's used in the Masonic lodges. That's used in the black Muslim culture. They use the word master. We're not to call anybody father. I don't care what religion it is. We're not supposed to use the word priest. You are not? No, turn your Bible, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. We're not supposed to use the term most holy reverend father. Hebrews chapter 7. How about we let the word of God be the authority? Amen. Not the church, not man, the word of God. Let me show you what the eternal word of God says. Look at verse number 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, therefore there is made a new necessity of a change of the law also. For he of whom these things were spoken pertained unto another tribe, which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Uh-oh. Why are we following Old Testament Levitical priesthood when Jesus became our high priest after the order of Melchizedek? But Jesus was not of the tribe of Judah, or of the tribe of Levi, but of Judah. The Levites were the priests. Say, why? What happened? Look at verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Can I paraphrase that? Because they're sinners and they died. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth and maketh intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's, for this he did once when he was offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Jesus did away with the priesthood. Colossians chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 7. I am not a priest. I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor. According to the word of God in the New Testament church, not the temple. Everybody doing okay? In other words, no man can speak ex cathedra or in the place of God. When a person gets up and says, well, I'm going to speak as though God is saying it, that's a dangerous place to put yourself. The Bible is for every person. not for some religious leader to give to everybody. By the way, there are religions out there that teach you, you shouldn't read the Word of God. You ought to let me teach it to you. And everything that you get is from me. The old preacher was, when he first got saved, he was in the hospital and he had just been saved out of the church, and he was the Catholic priest came by, saw him reading his Bible. He said, "Look, you don't need to read that. I'll give you everything you need to know about that book." He said, "Sir, I'm going to read my Bible. I got saved." He said, "You don't understand. I'm the milkman and I'll deliver what milk you need." He said, "Sir, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I got my own cow now." Can I tell you something? It's time we start milking our own cow. No preacher, no pastor, no priest, no rabbi, no pope, no minister has a right to be the final authority. That is for the Bible, not for man. Amen. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 3 talks about God. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, the powers that are ordained of God. I have no power or authority of myself. The only authority I have is the Word of God. Everybody doing okay? Amen. Some say human experience is the final authority. I have a tingling feeling, so it must be the Holy Ghost. Well, I've had tingling feelings before, and that wasn't the Holy Ghost. Flopping and flipping around on the floor in a trance, jibber jabbering in some unknown language, and I got it. Well, I don't want it. Some say, well, if you're prosperous, that's proof of the Holy Spirit of God, and you're making lots of wealth, Joel Osteen. Some say, well, can you feel the Spirit? I feel it in the music. That's why we got a bunch of rock and roll music. Trying to use religious words. Can I tell you something? You don't play the devil's music, put God's word to it, and be godly. That's man wanting to satisfy the flesh in religion, an experience. Well, I had a near-death experience, and I saw a light. And I came back. I'm glad you came back, but that light wasn't your salvation experience. Well, I just have this positive belief system. I've heard that so many times I want to vomit. Well, I see signs that this is a sign from God. The Holy Spirit and the Bible are never proven with a feeling or an event. Never in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit works according to the Word of God. Anything outside the Word of God, He is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. If He works outside the confines of the Word of God, He is not God and God is not God, and we're all going to die and go to hell. The Holy Spirit must work within the confines of the Word of God. That is the final authority. Some say human reasoning and intellect is the authority. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Man tries to explain God as man sees life. It's time for us to quit explaining God in our terminology, and let's take God's word and explain it according to His terminology. Let's quit redefining what God said, quit rewriting what God said, and how about we just start living what God said? We don't need to rewrite it, we need to reread it. We don't need to revise it, we need to revisit it. We don't need to change it, we need to live it. We need to let it change us. Man tries to change the Word of God. Well, we'll preach it, but we will be culturally acceptable and we'll apply it to the current culture. Key word to culture is the word cult. I'm so tired of culturalism, it makes me want to throw up. I almost said barf, and that wasn't nice. Can I tell you something? I don't want a culturally correct church. I want a biblically correct church. I want a church that goes by the Word of God, and I don't care if it hair lips our culture. Amen. Well, preacher, you're not real dignified. Did you see what Jesus did on Palm Sunday? Jesus made a whip, walked in, and kicked over the tables and cast out the money changers going, "Yeah, yeah, get out of here." I don't find that real culturally acceptable. 4 days later, they crucified him for it. Everybody doing all right? I know a pastor who was well known, one of the best pastors the world has ever seen. Somebody sent me a clip of his grandson who's quote unquote pastoring a church. Doesn't use the right Bible. A mess, he said. We all know words change meanings. We need to get up with the times in Christianity and change with that. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. Brother Josh, I'm going to use you for a second. Brother Roloff used to say it this way. Come on here. You're going to represent the world. You do that quite well. Let's go back this way. Here's what, and go about halfway across the platform there, right behind the pulpit, right there. Here's what happened. As the world started getting worse, Christians kept their distance from the world. But as the world got worse and worse and worse, keep going. Don't go off the edge, but keep going. One more step. All right. We are now at a point in time where the world, or where the church and Christians are more worldly than the world was 75 years ago. We've kept our same distance from the world, but we didn't keep where we were with the Word of God. This is the way it was supposed to be. As the world kept getting worse, we stood on the Word of God. As it got worse, we kept standing. As it got worse, we kept standing. As it got worse, we kept standing, and we're not going any farther. This is the way it's supposed to be. I am the Lord thy God. I change not. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thank you, Brother Josh. May I say something in closing? And I know I've gone over a few minutes, but you won't starve to death, I promise you. I'm going to read two verses to you, and then I'll quote one more here in a moment. Psalm 127, verse number 6. You need not turn there. I'll be there before you will, because I was headed there before you started. I think I will be. Psalm 127, verse number 6 says this. And Psalm 127, that wasn't it. Probably Psalm 137. Nope. Anyway, Psalm 138, verse number 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. God places that word above his name. Because if he breaks that word, he breaks his own authority. Because that is his final authority. And the word of God must be our final authority. Since the first sin in Genesis chapter 3, when Satan tempted man, he said, in the day thou eatest, you could be as gods. You could know good and evil. In other words, you can choose what's right and wrong for yourself. You can be your own authority. You don't need God to tell you what to do. And from the first sin, we have struggled with this, whether God's word is authority or whether we're the authority. My Bible says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not by the church, not by the preacher, not by an experience, not by my reasoning, for the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You can join every church in town and die and go to hell. You can get baptized in every religion and die and go to hell. You can read every Bible in the world and die and go to hell. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's not take away from the authority of the word of God. Let me ask you a question. How much of God's authority have you read in your life today or this week, this month? How high do we hold that word? Or do we hold on to our traditions? We hold on to our religion. Religion is man telling God how God must accept man. No, let's just do what God said in his book right there. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I want to go longer, but I can't. I wonder who would say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores of hands. Thank you, you can put them down. I'm not here to criticize anybody. If you feel I was critical, I do apologize. I was not trying to. I just want to lift the word of God to the level it should be. There's so much wrong out there. I really don't have an agenda against anybody. I have an agenda for the word of God.